Can I start? Welcome to Tales of Wales. Just a quick interjection. This is an old episode, but as it's Dee the Santa's doing on the weekend, we wanted to drop this in now so you can learn about the patron saint of Shaggin. No, it's not Shaggin. It's deeper than Shaggin. It's love, god damn it. This is love. Oh, I'm rambling. But as it's Love Day in Wales on Saturday, we wanted to make sure people had a bit of time to prep. And imagine surprising your partner with a Welsh equivalent to Valentine's Day. How effing romantic would that be? And how many brownie points would you get? So go out there, quickly go book a restaurant, go find yourself something fancy to do, nice to do. If you're a bit broke, go for a lovely walk, but Welsh theme it up, get some Welsh cakes on the go, just, you know, fucking cummery it up, like, but make a day of it. Dee Santa's doing when. Here's the episode of Love Ya. Oh, that's fitting.
Dewch gariadon dros y byd, dros y byd, dros y byd. Dewch gariadon dros y byd i ddathlu Santes Dwyn Wen.
Dewch gariadon dros y byd, dros y byd, dros y byd. Dewch gariadon dros y byd i ddathlu Santes Dwyn Wen.
Croeso and welcome to Tales for Wales, the pod that never fails to be that twinkle in a loved one's eye, that flirtatious brush of the arm, that rush of blood to your naughty bits. I'm Jack, and as ever, I'm joined by the naughtiest bit of all, the Randy Boy of Cardiff, alumni of the Horny University. It's my fucking blinder, mate. It's Franco.
You won me round. I am in such a foul mood that
I could tell.
Absolutely charmed me.
I could totally tell. Just for the audience, we've been having some tech issues, shock horror. And when we finally got it back up and running, Frank's been like, I'm just going to press play, all right? I'm just going to press record. That's it. Done.
Oh, my internet's gotta gone get him down. Back on. Like the internet down the bay is just gone. So it's been like a final day that obviously the minute we're going to record, it fucks off. So we don't know how much this will go.
I was just about to tell you, moan about, right? I came into my little man cave room, turned the light on, the fucking bulb burst. And I was thinking, just as I'm logging on, I was like, fucking typical. And then when I heard your plight, so I was like, I won't mention. It's not quite as bad.
Even though this will probably come out in... Oh, no, it'll come out next week, actually. But I'm still in the fucking thralls of dry January, so I haven't even got booze to relax me. So I've just taken the biggest swig of my Erdinger alcohol-free. And it's and it's surprisingly, it does give you that initial, like, because, you know, like, nothing, if you're frustrated and pissed off or, like, annoyed, booze just chills you before it de-chills you.
It dulls the edge a bit, doesn't it?
But to be fair, we're not angry drunks at all, are we? We laugh. We're fun drunks.
Yeah, but we usually just get very... We're either very, like, giggly or we're going, I fucking love you, mate. Oh, mate, I love you so fucking much. Like,
yeah, which is fitting for today's episode. But we always act like they don't know what the episode is. it's
literally there. We do a little synopsis and everything. Yeah.
I can't believe how much you charmed me with your intro, because I was thinking, how do I get out of this funk? Like, I am pissed off. I'm annoyed. How am I going to, like, turn this round? And then all I needed was a little coaxing from my boy.
I got it. I wrote it. It was meant to be serendipitous, my friend.
Yeah. Yeah. And I think actually we should do that more often, maybe. That beer is actually really good.
Yeah. Honestly, I love that. I'm assuming it just tricks your brain going, that's a lovely beer.
And then you don't even
think about it too much. Yeah.
Yeah.
That's not a bad idea. Because everyone I've had, every non-alcoholic one I've had, it's just, you go, and you go, that's not quite right. You know, your brain just knows.
Yeah. I'm only having one as well, because they're like 100 calories. And the whole point of doing dry Jan is to have like less calories. But it is nice, quite nice to have one. And I probably will fail dry Jan this weekend, but 19 days in, that's not bad, is it?
That's all right. That's like fucking, what, that's two-thirds of it? That's fine.
It's half what Moses did in the desert, isn't it? Did you do 40 days, 40 nights?
Moses in the desert? What? Yeah, I'm not up to date on my biblical studies. Let's go for that.
Pay attention, mate. Wake up.
I'm sorry, I'll get out my personal copy of Baby Blant now.
Yeah,
which is a Bible for children, by the way.
Which all ungodly children like us were given in like our... Yeah. Isn't it mad that our schools just used to sing Christian songs? Like in primary school. But did we do it in secondary school? Was our secondary school religious? I don't think it was it?
I don't think it was. No, I think I definitely remember in primary.
Yeah,
you,
I remember
going
primary.
To the what you call it, the what's called sound life? Can't even think of that now.
Assembly.
Go to assembly, and they would make you sing like Christian hymns. Seems a bit.
Yeah,
mad
you sing a
now,
lot of Christian hymns. But in secondary school, I don't think we did. Did we? I think we were probably because
just fart then twice. That mic's got some reach. I say got some reach. It was very obvious.
If you're
gonna
keep
almost, you're almost hear the tense in your core when you did it.
I'm relaxed now, mate. I've chilled out a bit.
Let all that stress go, haven't you?
Yeah. Oh God, that's awful. Is that a new low for the pod?
Oh, maybe. New year, new us.
Yeah, we'll see. Yeah. We'll see if that stays. What did you? What are you drinking anyway? Delight me.
I'm just on my last can of Budweiser, nothing too exciting. But then, because we're not having a mad one, I've brought a very fancy, nice, a Mortal Bunny spiced black cherry rum, and I'm going to have a couple of them.
You did your Borat then. Very nice.
A very nice Mortal Bunny.
I have a very nice. Yeah, it's 2024, we're still doing Borat.
I know.
It'll never die.
we're all about history, mate. It's history of bands,
true.
Isn't it?
So, yeah. sorry, I'm settled now. I'm finally like
you're
chilling
right.
A little bit.
You're back. You found your funk again.
Yeah, Frankie got his funk back. It's the new hit hot TV show we're gonna make. Before we get into brass tacks, how the hell have you been, you little rat bag? We haven't done one of these in a while, man. Have we?
Feels like it. Definitely feels like. I think we did one. Maybe we did a couple of lunchtime ones, was it?
Maybe. We did do an evening one, though, a couple of weeks ago as
well. Oh, we did. Yeah, it feels like forever, though. It feels like it's been a while. I think it's because we had a bit of a hiatus over Christmas and New Year. Intentionally so.
And I've not been drinking for these, so they are, that you know, we don't stay on the line as much.
So they're not worth shit to me anymore.
No, but usually we stay on the call afterwards just talking bollocks for hours, don't we?
Yeah.
Like, we don't. If we start recording at 7, we sometimes don't finish till like 1:30 in the morning. We just stay up chatting all night, like a bunch of chatty Cathys together.
We a lot of the time, just for the viewers, a glimpse behind the curtain, we plan stuff for the pod, and then the next sort of days or weeks we go, what did we say? And we're like, I don't remember. And we got this muddled spreadsheet that we sort of like haphazardly put together on the thing of what the fuck does that mean? We have to just re-go over it.
Abergavenny, ?
Okay, yeah. Yeah. One for Franks? And it's like next to nothing.
I think we probably could tease in this. We mentioned last week we're going to launch a Patreon. I think we should say, well, by the episode that next comes out, we'll have. No, we've already recorded them. Okay.
Right. Yeah. It's due. It's probably going to come. I'm just going to guess now because I'm not going to look at the. I'm not going to open the spreadsheet, but it's going to be about early Feb.
I reckon.
Right guess.
By the 10th of Feb, we'll have it up. Because we've
hold us to that.
Yeah, the
hold
reason
us
why,
to it and slap us in chains if we don't release.
But we have
the
had
Patreon
people message us saying like sometimes our order of things out in terms of like we'll say something then we'll reference it in the like a, in an odd way because we've already recorded them. We record them but don't always release them in that order. So some people have been like, "Oh, what did he mean? You just mentioned this." So people pay attention to that stuff. So just in case anyone cares, we recorded two episodes that are coming out in the next 2 weeks, but then we realized it was Dee Santis doing when, and we were like, oh, we should be more current and kind of like, you know, a bit more on the ball when it comes to like Welsh things of importance. So we thought, okay, we'll move those back. Do Santis doing when really quickly before it comes out. We like to have a buffer for ourselves, don't we? But so
this one's a quick fire one just to get it out in time.
Off the hip, to get out on time. We only thought about it, like Jack only thought about it last week. But it means we've got two in the bank. And then after those two in the bank, which should take us to the 11th of Feb, we'll then launch our Patreon. So we'll have all the details in it then. So in the next 2 weeks, we won't talk about the Patreon. This is so confusing. So we've mentioned it this week and last week. Oh, I have no idea, man. Fuck, I'm so bad at this. To me, is math, and maths makes me want to.
Basically, it's not always. We tend to do them in order, but this one is will be the latest one we've done chronologically in terms of recording, but then the next two after that we'll have recorded before this episode, if that makes any sort of sense. So and I'm you just might thinking, not even care about this. You might be thinking, shut the fuck up and get on the
probably,
episode.
Yeah, I don't even care. What the fuck are you on about?
No, yeah.
I don't know why I get so obsessed around things. Anyway, that's fucking boring.
We always do that, don't we? Go, oh, that's too short an episode. That's too long. We're making rules for ourselves. We don't need to do this.
Yeah. Let's get over that boring stuff. Let me tell you about today's incident that I texted you about it earlier, but I thought I'd save it for the pod. But so I went today to get my heart scanned because I've been still, you know, I'm still going through the old fat heart syndrome or whatever, with like enlarged heart. So they think my heart might be a bit too big because it keeps like the beats are too far apart. I imagine it's dump dump dump, and just like really cartoonishly slow.
I'm thinking of like it is in Looney Tunes where you see the physical like heart thing like coming out of your chest.
Yeah, and then an attractive nurse goes by and I turn into that wolf. I go, Ooga.
Yeah, your eyes pop out as well. It's a separate issue, but yeah.
I've got cartoonitis. So I had a scan already, and in that original scan, I had to take my top off and lie on this like MRI scan thing. So I lied on this like lying down, top off, and it does this scan of your body or scan of your chest. And then today it was standing up and she was like, oh, face the wall, like go push it. It's a square that protrudes out of the wall. Then you've got to put she said, oh, put your arms like backwards, then push your front really tightly onto this cold wall.
squeeze those little nips.
Squish those tits against the wall. Yeah. Tits against the wall, ladies. So then she told me what to do. Then she went to go sit down. And then she looked up and she was like, why have you got your top off? And I thought it was the same situation. I had to take my top off again. And so she said, why have you got your
trousers down as well? Yeah. What's going on?
Why have you got your top off? And I went, I don't know.
Hello, nurse.
But I was just there, sat like my body against the wall, and I just had my like head looking back of my shoulder in the most coquettish way.
Proper was tits and nips against the fucking glass.
And then when I left, I just went, sorry, like that, instead of goodbye. And I find myself so often just leaving a situation saying, sorry, sorry, getting it right. Sorry, me here. I got my top off.
Just imagine it. Yeah. Why have you got top off? Hey, let's relax. Let's all be comfortable here. Like,
no, it was more just like so awkward. I was just like, just panicking. I don't know. I don't know what's happened. A bigger boy came in and took my top clean off.
Absolutely fantastic. That is a good anecdote.
Once again, you cannot let anything be natural.
10 out of 10.
Good. You can't just say, oh, let's have a bit of preamble before the pod.
That was good. I rate it.
Thanks, mate. We haven't spoken about it. What shenanigans have you been up to, man?
Well, I've been in the Emerald Isle, as you know.
Oh, you have? Oh, betrayal. I wondered why my back was hurting.
I knew this was coming.
Hang on, I got a whole bit about this. Let me get into it. I wondered why I could feel a pain upon my back. I could feel a shift upon my spine because there's a knife embedded into it by other than my dearest boy who must have forgot my number or something because he went to Dublin without me and brought another friend.
It was not my fault, okay? I didn't know anyone else was coming. I thought for the listeners, my wife booked for my birthday a trip to Dublin. I thought it was just me and her, little romantic getaway back because I love Dublin and all that. I thought, oh, very thoughtful. Went over, got over there. Right, got off I'll give you the whole story, actually. It's much better. So on the plane over, me and my wife are notorious for going to bed like stupidly early, like proper granny bedtimes, half 8, 9. And on the way over, I got off sort of late flight. We landed about 6 o'clock. On the way over, Amy was going, oh, for tonight, should we just like go to bed early and call it a night? Obviously, that infuriated me, as you can imagine, because I was like, I'm on bloody holiday. I ain't going to bed. I want to see the sun. I want to see everything. And then, so I was like, absolutely not. It's not happening. But it was all a ruse because then when we got off the plane, I was thinking, oh God, is this what this holiday's going to be? Because Amy was going, we got to go into that little bar, the airport bar. I need my water. And I was like, okay, right, I'll go to the water, whatever. And then she was like, let's go sit down on that table over there. And I don't know where she was pointing. And I was looking for this empty table. And I was like, wait, she was at that table. I was like, what is your obsession with this fucking table? And then she went, maybe that table over there with people we know. And then suddenly I saw our friend Andy and his partner.
Ex-friend.
And I was like, oh, it makes your ex-friend now. And I was like, oh, it makes so much sense. And you know how fucking stupid I was at the time? I had a few rums at this point. And I went, what are the fucking chances that Andy and Harriet are in this Dublin airport bar when we're here? Anyway, so my wife had had arranged all this thing, and they were there as a surprise to as part of my little birthday thing. But since then, I've had texts galore. When I was over there, good God, the text from Franco. Oh, guess the pod's on the scrap heap. Oh, why don't you start a fucking pod with him? Tales for Dublin, is it? Yeah, good one.
New podcast idea, how to hurt your best friends. New podcast idea, how to laugh and make piss jokes with your shit new mates. Yeah.
How to smash your heart into 1,000 fucking pieces, yeah?
Yeah, what do I love? Beers. What do I love? My mates. What do I hate? Being left out. I don't like being left out. What's funny
you
as well.
You know this about me.
I'm doing dry Jan. I am broke, saving for my wedding, paid off, you know, paying for Christmas. Work, I'm fucking working like a dog at the moment. So there's no chance, I couldn't go anywhere, even if like...
I bet you, if you'd got the call, you'd have gone, Emma, we're remortgaging the flat. We're coming out.
I think I'd have been, oh, no, that's great. Thanks for asking. But I don't hang out with liars or betrayers, so I'm not even going to entertain this. No, but I was thinking, but that's beyond the point. That doesn't matter. What matters is me, my friend Josh, my friend Sean, we all went to football and with my friend Craig, and we all sat there and said, oh, well, I guess we know who Amy's favourite is. Yeah. Okay, it's not on us, is it?
You didn't get the call. It doesn't feel nice, I imagine. But it's,
no, I mean, you know, I obviously consulted with Emma about this. She consoled me as I was weeping on the floor. I did say, we do this with you guys, and we do this. All couples do this. And like, she's taking you away for a weekend away. The last thing she wants is all of your friends coming over and taking you away from there.
Because Amy said to me how it came back, because it was originally just me and her, and then a couple of days later, she just messaged Andy out of the blue and said, like, oh, the hotel that she found was like dirt cheap or something, and said, I don't know if you're going to be up for it or whatever. And then she said, I was thinking of inviting all the boys and their partners, but then it would have turned into like a thing, you know, like when it's like a who can make it, who can't, like that's
and it's no longer
all,
your
this
birthday
time, that time.
Present either.
Then it, like, and also from the girls' perspective, like me and Andy drank quite a bit, but not nearly as much as we would if it was like the boys. And if it was the boys and all the boys and all the girls, you just know it'd have been great for us lads, and the girls have just all been going to bed on their own every night.
Also, you and Andy, I'd say, are the two biggest fans of Dublin. Like, you, I'm kind of just happy. I do love Dublin a lot. It's a great pub city, but like, you two, like, it's venerable to you guys, isn't it? It's like,
oh, we love it, absolutely. Maybe not for Andy after we went to on the Friday. Amy had never been to Temple Bar, so
the world's most expensive pint.
Oh, yeah. For those who've not been to Dublin, there's Temple Bar. It's like the area full of really fucking lovely pubs, but very pricey. And then there's the Temple Bar, which is like kind of in the heart of it. And she's like, oh, no, I've been to this. We went there. Just happened to be Andy's round. Four drinks. So 2 pints, a single vodka and Coke, and a single, I think it was like a rum and Coke or something. Guess how much that cost?
If it's more than £20.
€45.
Oh, Christ. 2 pints and 2 drinks.
Yeah. Andy came back from bar. I said, how much that was? I don't want to talk about it. He said, on the way back. I was like, okay, fair.
Do you remember?
And then I found out and weaseled it out of him.
When we were in like Temple Bar, and we were like, oh, do you have any deals on Jägerbombing? Like a proper bar, like, you know, it's not like a quiet country pub. Mm. It's in a center of a city. And we're like, oh, do you have any deals on for Jägerbombs? And they're like, do I look like a Tesco's to you? I was like, no, but you do look like a fucking pub. You were aware pubs do drink deals. I always do find Dubliners hate UK people. And I'm always like,
maybe
I'm
just
Welsh.
Us.
I'm not English. I'm Welsh. But no, I always do. They have a resentment. You know, obviously, there's fucking wars. And there's reason why they detest the UK. But I'm always like, oh, they are just so anti.
Yeah. And I'm not one of them.
Yeah. I always want to say, listen, mate, I'm a fucking Welshie. I'm not like the rest of them.
I want to take a knife to my palm and go, I bleed Celtic blood the same as you guys. Okay.
I think we forget that Wales are pretty, you know. I think there's more steep. We like to kind of look at Wales as this benevolent, great country where it has also been involved in some pretty bad wars with England. So I do, think, like, mate, let me just have a Jaeger bomb and don't have a go at me. I just want
to have a Jaeger bomb and not fucking charge me an ungodly amount of money.
Yeah. They probably just have a UK tax on people, don't they? So anyone from the UK, they just hike it up and go,
I imagine, actually, if you're probably.
This is for Sinn Féin.
If you're a Dubliner, then you probably do stay away from Temple Bar a fair bit, because it's way too expensive. They probably have their own little drinking holes.
Your dad lives there. When does your dad go drinking?
He goes to this place called the Penny Hill.
Is it in is it like central Dublin?
No, it's a little bit out, but he's a little bit out as well. So he always goes there, but he's also got his own little bar that he made during COVID. And he's I got that now, so what else can I do?
I realise we're 20 minutes in, man. Should we?
I know we've been on a string. We've basically been catching up just as mates, not even.
Yeah, I know. I kind of forgot we did a podcast for like most of this. Oh, we're 20 minutes in, so should we just crack straight on with the episode?
Yeah, go on. So, as Frank's mentioned earlier, I'm going to be chatting about a saint that is fairly well known in Wales, but probably hasn't gone too much further outside of Wales's borders. If you have heard of her and I'm talking shit, feel free to leave us a little comment and let us know, because we love talking to you guys. But anyway,
us know if you're talking shit, as in you've got it all wrong.
No. As in, like, if I go, oh, no one knows about Santa's Domen outside of Wales, but loads of people do. Give us a shout. As I mentioned, we're going to be discussing Santa's Domen. She's the Welsh patron saint of lovers. And it's basically to get you all ready and clued up before De Santa's Domen, or St. Domen's Day, which is on the 25th of Jan. So,
can I give a little tip here?
Go on then.
Valentine's Day is very commercial. It's quite opportunistic of big, like, card thingies and stuff. It's very, very commercialized and like a kind of soulless, and all everything's like triple in price. They're trying to get a restaurant's really expensive, and like flowers and all that stuff is just hiked up, and it's all going towards like big Valentine. If you do Santa's Domen instead, it gets you a lot more extra brownie points with your partner, because it's far more romantic and it's a bit more
trust me. I've made little allusions to that at the end, don't you worry. take Franco's advice, all right? Domen's Day is the superior day of love, I'm telling you right now. It's just it. I'm not biased in any way, shape, or form. But anyway, Domen was a Celtic princess from the 5th century. So the story goes, she was one of 24 daughters of Brychan Brycheiniog. He was king of the land that we now know as Brecon. English speakers would know it as Brecon Beacons, but his actual name, there was the original Welsh, which is Banai Brycheiniog, which is named after him,
which means
the king of the land.
Yeah, it's Banai's Beacons, isn't it?
Brycheiniog's Beacons, yeah.
Yeah, that's it.
So, not only was Domen one of King Brychan's daughters, she was also said to be the foxiest one of the lot. And loads of 5th century men were pining for her back in the day. They couldn't believe how bloody beautiful she was.
She's gorgeous.
She was bloody gorgeous. And unfortunately for all those lads, Domen had the hots for only one particular lad, a young boy named Maelon Dafydryll. Now, I couldn't find if Dafydryll had any particular meaning itself, but I did notice that if you split it up, it does make the Welsh words for drill tongue. So make of that what you will. I don't know if doing men just love a good tongue lashing
So it mutates from Tavod to Davod.
Yeah, it's a mutation. Yeah. I'm playing fast and loose with the grammatical rules. And Drill is drill, Davod is tongue. So.
Yeah.
Drill tongue.
The old tongue tornado.
The old male on the old drill tongue. I bet he was fucking working his way through the girls.
What's gun? Drich. Drich is gun, isn't it?
What's that?
Drich with a CH is a gun.
Drich with the T. Drich. I thought.
What's gun in Welsh?
Gun is. I thought it was gun. GWN.
No. Oh, maybe it is. I always thought it was drich. Let me have a little quick. Drich. I don't know what I'm on about here. Drich is a mirror, isn't it?
Yeah, D-R-Y-C-H is mirror. So anyway, Maelon Dafydrich was the son of a neighbouring king. He and Dwynwen very quickly fell madly in love, planning to spend the rest of their lives together as little virgin plus ones. For those who don't know what virgin plus one is, it's basically someone who's had sex once. So that's what we used to use in uni, I don't know why. with this in mind, Maelon went to King Brachan to ask for his daughter's hand in marriage, but was denied permission from the king. Brachan denied Maela his daughter's hand as he'd already promised it to another prince from another kingdom that would better suit his ambitions. Despite pleading with her father, Brachan put his foot down with Dwynwen and swore he would force her to go ahead with the marriage he'd arranged no matter what. Maelon, it turns out, was a bit of a spoilt brat of a prince, and when he couldn't get what he wanted, he took it out on his so-called love of his life and struck Dwynwen in anger. Dwynwen, heartbroken and betrayed, ran away from her privileged life rather than be a tool of her father's greed or the object of her lover's abuse. She first fled into a nearby forest until her tired feet could carry her no more. She led down to rest, and as she drifted off to sleep, she begged the gods to take away her love for Maelon, so that she might be free of a heartache. Dwynwen awoke that night to a visit from a spirit who offered to take away her love for the prince along with three wishes. Dwynwen, so exhausted and lovesick, agreed to the spirit's proposition. The spirit's hands glowed and the feeling of loss in Dwynwen's chest melted away. The ghostly being led down and told Dwynwen she was cured of her heartache and that Maelon had also been magically encased in ice for his transgression against her, so that no other could love him again. The spirit then asked Dwynwen what she wanted for her three wishes. Dwynwen, the kindest and most forgiving of souls, gave Maelon a chance to better himself and earn love again, and with her first wish she had the prince thawed from the magical ice. Her second wish was for God to look favourably on any that loved in Dwynwen's name, so that, unlike her, their love could flourish and grow. The third wish she asked of the spirit was that she remain unmarried for the rest of her life so that she may focus on fostering the love in others. Once the apparition had granted Dwynwen's wishes, she bid her farewell and left her to a peaceful sleep. When she awoke, she was filled with a new purpose and journeyed far from her father's lands to the island of Llanddwyn, or Ynys Llanddwyn in Welsh, a small island off the coast of Anglesey or Ynys Môn, North Wales. She preached messages of love all through Wales as she travelled north, and once she arrived, she even set up a church dedicated to lovers the world over. This was an important shrine in the Middle Ages, along with a nearby well that Dwynwen was said to have blessed. She also studied the medicinal properties of many herbs and supposedly helped heal any of the afflicted that visited her. She also had a fondness for animals, and as well as being the patron saint of lovers, this is a slightly unknown fact, she's also the patron saint of sick animals.
Aww.
So, all in all, she sounds like a bloody lovely lady. Dwynwen, she died around 460 AD, and both the church and the well became popular sites of pilgrimage. And it was actually said that the fish that sometimes found themselves in the well were sacred, and they could indicate lovers' destinies. Now, I tried to find out how a fish could indicate things, but it was a bit of a mixed bag. So, some sources said you could actually physically pick the fish out of the well, ask it questions about your relationship, and it would answer you, like in your native tongue.
Like that big bass. Course, remember that bass you spill on the wall?
Yeah, and it'd sing you a fucking country song. But,
what song did that bass used to sing?
I can't remember, you know. I was racking my brain to think of it
what
then.
Luke, I can have quickly Google what Billy Bass sings.
Go on then.
We got to drop that in here as well, I think.
Oh yeah, definitely.
Thank you.
Oh, the one I remember was, don't worry, be happy.
What on earth? They think put in the bath to say that. Why? It doesn't make any sense.
Mine wasn't in the bath. Mine was on like a hunting trophy wall. And it would like...
Yeah. But why don't worry, be happy of all, things? You'd want to make it punny, wouldn't you?
Yeah. Oh, but I thought you said take it in the bath, but you said if I give
no,
that to
no,
a
bass. Bass. Yeah. Like the bass fish.
Yeah. But, sorry for that.
So that was... That's all right. No worries. And so that was what I read from some sources said that you could just pick the fish up and talk to it, because of course you could, because it's fucking magic shit. But in other recordings, it would say that what you do is you'd go to the well, you'd speak your lover's name down the well, and if you saw a fish's face rise to the surface, your relationship was blessed.
Ooh.
Now that, I mean, even that's a bit tenuous, but I think that second one is probably more likely than the first one.
Oi,
is it going anywhere or what? He goes, nah, mate, nah, fucking binner. Like, it's not going to happen, is it?
So is that well still around now?
Yeah, that well's still there. So I'm going to go through a little bit of what happened with her church from her death, and then I'll get back to sort of like the lasting legacy, if you like. Following the Protestant Reformation towards the end of the Middle Ages, devotions to Dunwen's church were suppressed, leaving the building to quickly fall into disrepair, with pilgrims opting to visit St. Elian's Well instead. This was a shrine nearby in the county of Conwy, dedicated to the saint of the same name. So things flip-flopped back the other way then, during the 19th century, when the Anglican Church began acknowledging traditional devotions again. With an increase in visitors to what remained of Dunwen's church, they decided to erect a 14-foot cross in her memory. So that's quite near the grounds, not quite on it, but that's quite near the grounds. And then in 1903, a Celtic cross was also placed at the actual ruins of the church in her honour by a guy named F.G. Wynne of Glynllifon, son of the Baron of Newborough. You can still visit the ruins of this church today up on Ynys Llanddwyn, or Llanddwyn Island, and her namesake is also present in a place called Porthwyn in Anglesey. Now, that's not too surprising to have something up in North Wales to do with her again, but I was very impressed with this. There's a church in a place called Advent in Cornwall called Sen Adwyn, which is in her name as well.
Oh.
And I thought that was pretty fucking cool.
Well, you know, as I'm getting older, when me and Emma go places, I love seeing old churches, and I'm not religious at all, but like I am obsessed with history, and I love like touching a beam from like a 15th century barn and knowing someone from 600 years ago or whatever it is, 500 years ago, touched that and put that there. And I think it's like a direct link. You're touching hand from the past. Like you know those mudlarks in London who go through the Thames when the tide's out, and they go through, and because of the oxygenated clay, they pick up like amazingly preserved stuff from thousands of years ago or hundreds of years ago.
It's mad, isn't it?
And I love that. They touch it. The last person who touched that dropped it and it fell in the water, and now it's being picked up, direct link. And I always find it like a direct link. And I think churches are like that. Like churches are, because they're one of the few, you know, castles got knocked down, especially in Wales. Yeah. Loads of castles got ruined during the English Civil War. They used to just like dismantle them and smash them so they couldn't have any, either side couldn't use it as a refuge. So loads of churches in Wales now look like they're demolished. They had looked perfectly fine up until the English Civil War. But churches were left unscathed. And, so, you know, churches in Wales go back for ages and ages and ages.
I do like churches as well. Like you say, it's, you know, me and you don't, you know, we're not big religious guys or whatever, but because people were back then,
the
building of churches and stuff has given like a lot of reverence. So they're obviously often quite grand. And like, you can see how much, and the way that things used to be built back then, the amount of time and effort that would go into it. And, you know, architecture is amazing.
You get to physically see what they would have seen. So, like, I love that. And, like, Christianity in Wales, I was reading this the other day, that, like, it dates to... Because I was thinking, so when did we stop being pagans in Wales? And when did we stop... When did we stop doing Roman? You know, because the Romans came, did we adopt any of their religion? But Christianity in Wales dates from, like, the 4th century. And by the 7th century, because of, like, Roman and Celtic missionaries, the whole country was completely Christian. And then when the pagan Anglo-Saxons invaded Britain in the 5th century, Wales was one of the strongholds of the Celtic Church. So, like, she's from the 5th century, which is when like the Anglo-Saxons were coming in and stuff, and churches would have been struggling in England. In Wales, that wasn't the case.
It's interesting as well, because if you look at this, like, to get the, like, Welsh, which would have been Celts at the time, on side when the, like, sort of Christian church, or what would be, I don't know, pseudo-Christian back then, I don't know what you call it, you know, they allowed certain practices they maybe wouldn't in places that were, like, diehard Christians, because they
knew they weren't.
The whole thing was to convert. So yeah, it's like this weird mix of, like, this old pagan rituals and what would at the time be considered modern Christianity. It's just very interesting, like, how this, like, muddled religion come out of it.
Yeah. I wonder if we should ever do an episode on religion, but I mean, I don't know, because it's quite
boring. Also, I find religion really boring. Yeah. I'm glad we're on the same page on that one.
Yeah. All right, well, that's it. This is our Christian episode.
This is our Christian episode. Consider it that.
Yeah.
Where was I? So, that was cool. I thought it was Sen Adoin in a place called Advent in Cornwall. That was good. That was good. That's what I've
good
said.
Good, done, next.
Was good, done. Finish that little line I've just written. What I meant was that was interesting in a more natural way. So as for Duwyn's lasting legacy, it's hard to say definitively how long the Welsh have noted the 25th of January as St. Duwyn's Day. The oldest calendar we have marking the date dates back to the 15th century, but historians reckon Wales would have been celebrating it for much further back than that. Some even say back since her death, basically in the 5th century, or not long after. So it's one of those classic things where between the 5th and, I don't know, maybe 10th or something like that, we didn't really write things down.
Well, even then we didn't.
We always say this. Yeah. Oh, sorry, not in 10th, 15th, I meant. So it's... It's anyone's guess, but people do reckon that we've celebrated it for a while, in Wales at least. Despite this date being noted for so long, it did fall out of fashion as different religions and theologies spread through Western Europe over many, many years. But Dydd Santes Duwyn has had a resurgence in Wales in recent history. There was a really big push from the Welsh Language Board to brand it as the Welsh Valentine's Day, which is a pretty easy leap to make considering Duwyn's background and everything. And in 2003, they partnered with Tesco, for those outside the UK, that's like one of, if not the biggest supermarket chain here. They partnered with Tesco, and Tesco distributed 50,000 free cards across its Welsh stores that were themed similarly to what you'd expect from a Valentine's card. The difference being that messaging would either be Welsh or bilingual, and promoted Dydd Santes Duwyn, or St. Duwyn's Day, as a day of love akin to the Valentine's Day we all know. In one of these 50,000 cards was a special heart, and whoever found that won a prize. Oh. I searched high and low for what this prize was, but I couldn't find it, annoyingly. I can only assume it wasn't the greatest, because you know, these sort of government-funded language things don't usually get the biggest like purse to do promotions with. But... this is something I found that was really nice, though. They also set up a hotline at the time. So if you wanted to write your loved one a message in Welsh in your card, but you didn't speak Welsh, you could phone them up, say what you wanted to say, and they would translate it over the phone to you and spell out to you and everything.
Oh, that's class.
I imagine that wasn't the busiest line ever, but that is still such a lovely thing to do. And I was thinking, you know what? I don't mind money going to people to do a service like that, because I think that's quite nice. Even if you only had like tens of people doing it, I thought that was quite nice. So the chair of the Welsh Language Board at the time, a chap named Rodri Williams, an incredibly Welsh name, as you'd expect, he said at the time, "Why?" And this echoes your sentiment earlier, Franks. "Why wait until St. Valentine's Day to make your romantic feelings known when you've got our own Welsh opportunity to say, Dwi'n dy garu di, I love you. By making your feelings known..."
Do you know that song?
Yeah.
Laura Lanamore. Oh, Laura Lanamore. Put that in. That's a banger.
Yeah, we'll put that one in. Oh, Roin de Gari D. Oh, Roin de Gari D. Redneth Ar Lanamore. Oh, Roin de Gari D. Oh, Roin de Gari D. Redneth Ar Lanamore. So, he also said, "By making your feelings known on St. Duwyn Wednesday, you're not only celebrating an ancient Welsh tradition but you're also shown that you're one step ahead in the romantic stakes, while others are left waiting for St. Valentine.
Oh, Roger, you old dog.
So the die has been cast. If you wait for Valentine's Day, you're a Roman-loving fucking chump who doesn't rate their partner enough to prove their love in January. All the alphas, all the top shaggers, we're all celebrating St. Domingue's Day, baby. So that was it. That's my bit on St. Domingue's for you. So if you're out buying chocolates and flowers for your partner on the 25th of Jan, and some ignorant bastard comes up to you and goes, "What the bloody hell are you doing?" You can say, "Listen, mate, here's a podcast you should listen to. Pump up the numbers. Pump up the numbers.
Pump up your numbers whilst you're pumping away." Oh, yeah. If you do get your end away, thanks to St. Domingue's Day in this podcast, just picture me and Jack and this podcast throughout. Delicious.
Yeah. Also, yeah, I would say if you're going to do that, get your end away on the 25th. A jam. Make sure you comment and let us know you did as well. We'd love a tally. We really would.
Yeah, we need a tally. We need to know who of our listeners are top shaggers. And even if it's just making sweet love to yourself, do it in her name. Yeah.
Jesus. So we're down doing, give us a tally if you've shagged your partner. Give us a tally if you've fucking had a tug or a rub.
Or a rub. You like. Come on.
Or a rub.
Sorry, we've gone seedy. We're never seedy.
St. Domingue, the horniest of patron saints.
Yeah, well, she's had a wicked way with us. she made us all amorous.
Give someone else the old drill tongue. Go on.
Yeah. That's horrible. Diolch am grando. Thanks for listening. Drop us a review and comments, guys. Much appreciado.
Thanks. Bye. Cariad hi. Meilon oedd ei chariad hi. Oedd cariad Santes dwy'n wen. Dewch gariad ond dros y byd, dros y byd, dros y byd. Dewch gariad ond dros y byd, i ddathlu Santes dwy'n wen. Dewch gariad ond dros y byd, dros y byd, dros y byd. Dewch gariad ond dros y byd, i ddathlu Santes dwy'n wen.
Diwrnod Santes dwy'n yn hapus i chi gyd!